Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news with our music expert, Gary Graff. Morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you guys doing?
Very good. How long before we start spooling up and we get releases for the holidays?
Well, it's happening. I mean, you know, this week we are getting, you know, whether you're talking about Christmas albums, you know, this week Jonathan Cain of Journey is releasing something called Unsung Noel, which is a very, very religious kind of Christmas album. And it's one of several that are coming out this week. So we really, in the past 3 weeks, we started to see the holiday albums. The big hitters are coming, too. You know, this week we have Pink's new album. We have a new album from Beck. The Who has a Tommy Live package. You know, so we're starting to get the big names, and they're going to be rolling. There's a big concentration of those coming in November, as there usually is. I mean, you're going to have Taylor Swift and, you know, Bob Seger, we've talked about. Looks like Eminem's going to have an album out in November. A bunch of others. There's going to be big box sets from Metallica, Bob Dylan, a bunch of other proven quantities.
So, speaking of Eminem, you know him fairly well.
Yeah.
I mean, you're from the same area. You've
right.
talked to him, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't surprised that about his deal at the BET Awards. I guess I would have been more surprised had he come out and said, no, I'm a Trump guy.
Right. No, definitely. He's not, you know, it's interesting being here in Detroit and having, you know, Kid Rock kind of on one side and Eminem on the other. It's an interesting, it's an interesting juxtaposition to be watching.
Is Kid Rock from Detroit, or is he? No one says they're from Detroit, right?
Well, some do. I mean, like, you know, it's interesting. Eminem says he's from Detroit. Really, he's from Warren, which is a suburb, but close enough. Kid Rock is from Romeo, which is a little further out from Detroit than where Eminem is from. But, you know, they both spent considerable formative time in the city. So,
okay.
You know, they deserve their Detroit moniker.
All right.
And, yeah, with Kid Rock, with Eminem, what you're talking about, you know, this is a guy who, you're right, his position is not a surprising one if you're an Eminem fan or have been watching him. He's not been political all the time, but when he is political, this new song, it's a rap, it's not even a song, it's called The Storm, and it certainly follows in the direction of his previous political raps.
Now, this is a guy who was accused of being a homophobe and other things in the past, right?
He's had that kind of verbiage,
right,
in his stories, in his songs.
So how much traction does he get for this, or is it like...
Oh, he gets a lot. You
okay.
know, he's highly credible.
All right.
You know, his viewpoint is respected by some. He's taken a lot of backlash. You know, you can barely breathe anymore without engendering some backlash. So he's of course engendering some backlash, but you know, a guy's starting his album campaign. He certainly started it with a bang.
So you're saying there might have been a little motivation for this to get a little, hey, look at me.
I don't think he sat down and wrote an anti-Trump track in order just to get attention and to drum up a little anticipation for a new album. I think his expression is a genuine one, but the timing of it certainly isn't an accident.
Okay. Since we're talking about Detroit, Seger.
Yeah. Yeah, we got more news about Bob Seger's new album. You know, they just announced the track list and revealed the cover, and also revealed that there will be not one but two editions of the Bob Seger album, I Knew You When. They're the standard 10-song edition, the 13-song deluxe edition, which obviously will have three more songs. He already has the Lou Reed cover, Busload of Faith, out, and he also covers Leonard Cohen's song, Democracy, and the deluxe edition will include Glenn's song, which was the song he released back in January to coincide with the first anniversary of Glenn Frey's death. You know, they were good buddies.
All right.
That's still on target for November 17th, even though, as we spoke about last week, Seger canceled the rest of his tour, postponed the rest of his tour due to some sort of debilitating vertebrae issue that we still haven't heard anything more about.
Boy.
Do we have any rescheduled dates yet?
We don't yet, I think. You know, it sounds like this is everything's pending, you know, some real examination and treatment and rehabilitation and if surgery is necessary.
So if you caught him in Green Bay a few weeks ago, you might be one of the lucky ones who saw him this time.
That was one of the last ones. The final show was in Pittsburgh two weeks ago yesterday. And, you know, he, of course, played four Michigan dates. He only got about 14 shows into the tour. And we'll see. You know, everybody's hoping for next year, you know, some sort of rescheduling for next year. Obviously, he's got to promote the album. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
You mentioned Glenn Frey, so that gets us to Eagles and their 40th anniversary Hotel California.
Yeah, not a surprise, but, you know, because everybody...
Because there's more money.
Every anniversary, exactly. But
Brian, it's fresh material. No, it's not fresh material.
They are going to release this comes in November, too, a 40th anniversary edition of Hotel California itself, of course, a classic. It's going to come with plenty of bonus material, the original album. Of course, and then a second disc that'll include a concert from 1976 at the Los Angeles Forum.
But it's a Blu-ray, right? So you get it 5.1.
And it comes out in blue. You know, the package includes two CDs and a Blu-ray disc.
Yeah. Now, is the Blu-ray just audio, or is
just
it
audio?
Right.
Just
so audio. That see, if you're going to do that, why didn't they? Do they not have footage of it? Was this audio?
Yeah, this was a radio concert broadcast.
That's going to be lame.
Well, you know, I mean, you can take the raw material and spiff it up.
Have you heard any of it?
Yeah, actually, this has been widely bootlegged. So in the realm of, ooh, can't believe we're getting this, well, most people who want it have it, and in fact, they have the full show.
When does this come out?
This comes out. Let me scroll up to get you.
I know it's around. It's November. It's around Thanksgiving.
November 24th.
Okay. You know who's going to be standing in line with their money in hand on November 24th just for total transparency?
Well, you will.
This guy.
But not just for that. You're going to be doing the vinyl junkie thing.
Is it being issued on vinyl?
Oh, yeah. Well, and
get out of here.
Forget,
I got to go get in line.
Don't forget, they've turned Black Friday now into record store Black Friday as well.
So. Amazon or?
No, records, independent record stores. Not only is there record store day in April, but there's record store Black Friday. So there will be a ton of exclusive limited edition vinyl.
To drive us to the record stores.
Exactly. The White Stripes are doing an interesting thing, not just vinyl. They're re-releasing their first three albums on cassette.
Brian didn't have a CD player to play a disc on the other day. He had to go to Best Buy and get one.
To go buy one. And
if he doesn't have a CD player, nobody has a cassette player anymore, do they?
I do. I have a few. So if you need a loaner, let me know. I still kept mine because I have a number of things that I haven't digitized or you know yet. So I do keep the cassette player.
I think
around.
I got a cassette player.
That was such a useful format at the time and so awful in the context of 2017. I mean, you know, there's a charm to 8-track, but cassette is just a pain in the butt.
I'm trying to remember, and it's pointless because you guys will know, are all the singles on Hotel California Don Henley songs?
No, New Kid in Town was
Glenn. It was a Glenn Frey song. You know, Life in the Fast Lane was a... You know, don't forget, these are Henley Frey compositions.
The song itself, though, that's a Don Felder song, right?
What one?
Hotel California.
Well, the music.
Well, he co-composed the music.
Okay.
Yeah, Henley had the lead vocal on that. New Kid was Glenn Frey. Life in the Fast Lane was Henley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Was Wasted Time
Wasted Time, that's Henley.
Was that a single?
Then you flip it over to side two, you got your Victim of Love.
Boy, see,
that's Don Henley. Then you go into Pretty Maids All in a Row. That's Joe Walsh.
And you got Love Again, isn't that?
Randy Meisner's.
And The Last Resort was Henley.
Yeah.
Funny when you think about it, you know, there's such a big deal we made about this, you know, an album like that. 9 songs. That doesn't feel like a lot, again, in the context of 2017. You know, when you used to get 12, 14, 15, 20.
Oh, they were screwing us. It was a cheap
I do
album.
Not believe. No, I remember reading an article from Don Henley when he went solo, and he said when people are paying, what was his CD when they came? When
Henley, like $15.
$15. And he said, if you're charging people $15, you better have all good tracks on your albums.
Exactly, yeah.
That's a lot of money for people to pay.
The mistake they made was trying to trying to do 15, 16, 20 tracks, and it's almost impossible to make all of those good. You know, that's just too much music. You think about Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. That was a two CD set, 72 minutes of music on each one. That would have been four LPs.
Okay, so let's just be clear here. I'm going to need to go to my local record store to get the Eagles on vinyl,
right,
the 40th anniversary reissue, but I can order all the discs, the whole set, through Amazon?
Oh, you can probably get the vinyl online as well.
Okay. Well, but I'd like to support, still, I like swinging through my local record store.
Well, that's it. You know, these record store days, you know, whether April or the record store Black Friday, it's a party. I mean, it's great. You know, you really feel like a music fan when you go to these.
I like the way they treat me the same way they treated me in the 70s. Totally disinterested.
Oh, or I was going to say they call the police as soon as you walk in the store.
No, they're record guys. That's just the way record store guys should be.
See, our record store, the guys I know in the places I shop, they're great. I mean, they leave you alone, but
exactly.
But as soon as you ask them the first question, you're in a 2-hour conversation.
And they're never playing anything I would ever buy in the record store. It's like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, and sometimes you wind up buying it though.
Well, I just said I would never buy it.
He was clear about that. He said he'd never buy.
All right. What else? Where are we going?
What else are we going? Well, last night, Bruce Springsteen, the official opening of the Springsteen on Broadway show. Yes, it's been in previews for 2 weeks, but that's how they do it on Broadway. They preview it, and then you have an official opening. You know, not a huge guest list there, just Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, Tina Fey, Brian Williams, Andrew Lloyd Webber, Edward Norton, John Stewart, Nathan Lane.
Just the D-list, I guess.
A number of other people. This was invite-only. There were a few tickets up for sale, but not many. They did a big party afterwards, and you know, the show has set a record for the highest average ticket price on Broadway at $497. That breaks Hamilton by more than $200.
Well, he's got to do the same show every night to get a Tony Award.
People are exactly. You know, everybody was talking about how this is going to be the ultimate Bruce experience and every night different. No, you know, by Broadway rules, you have to do the same show every night. So he's got this 15-song kind of autobiographical show where he reads from his memoir, he reads from Born to Run, and then plays the appropriate songs.
So he's got to say the same thing every night, too?
The spoken word, Brian.
It's scripted. No, it's scripted. It's scripted. I mean, it's a Broadway show. That's what, you know, people kind of expected maybe it would be a Broadway a concert on Broadway.
Broadway, right.
It's a Broadway show.
Gary, okay. Sometime we're going to have to expand your segment to 30 minutes because there's just so much that we can't get to in our time together.
All right. Well, we will do it again next week.
All right. One more thing before you go. Sure. Anything new on Tom Petty?
You know, it's interesting. The L.A. Coroner's Office deferred the ruling on the official cause of death, even though, yes, he suffered a, you know, total heart failure. But I guess they still wanted to run some more tests and look at things. So there's, you know, they issued the death certificate without an official cause of death yet. The funeral and memorial are going to be Monday in Los Angeles. There's going to be a private service and then a larger memorial. And, you know, as so often happens after somebody passes away, you look at the charts now or the sales figures, and it's Tom Petty all over the place. 14 songs on the Billboard rock charts this week. You know, including, I think he holds spots. I think it's 7 through 12.
How'd you like to?
Has he got any setup like Prince, or are people going to be fighting over his estate?
No,
or?
No. It's pretty. His situation is very straightforward.
Okay. How'd you like the Gator game last week?
That was fabulous.
The Gator Bowl.
Wasn't that fabulous?
Singing, I won't back down, and between the third and fourth quarter, it was,
you know,
awesome.
What is it? 80,000 of them.
Yeah.
Singing it, which was great. And then Jason Aldean that night on Saturday Night Live doing "I Won't Back Down," which had of course double meaning.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was pretty incredible too. So yeah, people are, you know, they just are very affected by Tom Petty's passing, and you know, they're in concerts. There's been tons and tons of Tom Petty tributes, and I think that'll continue for a while. Who knows? We still have 2.5 months left, but this could be the, you know, as we look at the defining death of 2017. This may well be it.
I watched that documentary. I watched it last week. It's great.
Oh, Peter, did you watch the whole 4-hour cut?
All four. Just sat down and watched it.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. It was outstanding. All right, Gary, we got to run.
Have a great week.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Gary Graffy's our music expert. You get him here every Friday morning.